One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Namaste, friends. You know, as a wise man, a guru, a spiritual leader, maybe, to some, at times I can be a right silly fakir. The spirit world that I inhabit can impinge on the everyday world, leaving me confused. Is there a simple explanation to event, or is there really something mysterious happening? Let me explain. Last Friday, I made my way up to Grimsby in the northeast to do a gig for people who want to be enlightened at a very special holy site, Cleethorpes Town Football Club Function Room. I had a hotel booked for me in Cleethorpes near the boating lake, as it goes. I won't name the hotel, probably best not to. Upon arriving in my room, clutching my nicely pressed costume for showtime and just hoping to, you know, take myself in hand for some respite from a long drive, I discovered in the bath, and bear in mind I do like to enjoy a bath pre and post show, just over halfway down, stuck to the interior of the bath, a pubic hair, coiled, black, unmistakably a straightedly that had come loose. Disgusting. Not mine, I'd never been in that room before. And besides, my careless whispers are blonde. One of the room cleaners was outside in the corridor in the hotel with a load of dirty towels on her trolley, looking at a clipboard as it goes, and I called her in. I leaned over the bath and with the tip of a complimentary pen I found next to my room TV guide, I indicated the rogue curly-whirly for this lady to see. Now, rather than being contrite, she seemed not to be the slightest bit bothered about this. Yet there it was, a coil from a lady or gentleman's pubis, a smidgen of winkle matting, 0.02 ounces of Old Holborn, a coil of nether hair, a pocket watch spring, a tiny weed come loose from the happy hippie trail. Puberus, puberum, pubet. And while I'm at it, I said, there's no tea bags. She said nothing. In fact, she looked distinctly hostile, I thought. But she whipped off the offending bush detritus in the bath with her cloth, which I dare say was the very same one that cleans the tea and coffee making facilities, that cloth. I told her I expected more. You know, a bit of attention to detail. You know, turn down the bed covers. Maybe leave a chocolate on my pillow. But no. Now, I have a very acute sense of people, you know, and what they're communicating to me due to my extraordinary skills. And as she left the room, she gave me what I would call, in my heightened expertise, a funny look. Deciding to forego my bath, I went to do the gig where the spirits were very, very strong. Very strong. So much so that I was frightened that for one gentleman in the audience, I may have conjured up an evil spirit. So, upon returning to my hotel, I was still shaken, and I decided that, yes, I would have a bath as quickly as possible to spiritually cleanse myself. Plus, I had one of them German doner kebabs on its way from Deliveroo downstairs in reception, so I had to go down and collect that when it arrived. entering the bathroom, in my room, to my horror, fresh from conjuring some very daunting spirits, I discovered in the bath, in exactly the same place as the previous genital trimming, was, this time, 3 pubic hairs. I saw it with my own eyes. 6, 6, 6. Unmistakable. Yeah, 3 curly ones in a row. Fashioned to make the number of the devil. Next to each other. Was it the devil or was it this chambermaid going to town with some scary, hairy iconography of her own? Had she put them there herself? To be honest, I was tired, and so I decided to shut the bathroom door and simply climb into bed. The chambermaid had, it seems, indeed left a bit of chocolate on my pillow, but it wasn't in a wrapper, so I just flicked it off, where curiously it flew off the bed and stuck to the wall. It was still there the next morning, as it goes, strange. Come to think of it, yeah, I'm not even sure that was chocolate. And that's it, really, but just to take this opportunity to say to the hotel, devil sign or no, I will be making a complaint. Thank you. Namaste, friends. Namaste. Shalamar Shakatak. Shawadi Wadi and Shami Chakrabarti to every single one of you. It's Clinton Bloody Baptiste here with Andy. Who's with me? Just moving the microphone here. Who's that there?
Linda Pollard.
Oh, Linda, how are you, my love?
I have had the best couple of nights' sleep I've had for flipping ages.
What were you doing listening to Yvette Fielding's podcast? Hold on. No disrespect to you. Shut up, that goes on too long.
You're still trying to get her on?
I'll put an end to that now. Well, go on, a best night's sleep, go on.
Because of the fresh air, I went glamping, Clinton.
Glamping? Now, for any people who don't know what glamping is, yeah. And let's be fair, there's quite a lot of thick people who do listen to this, no disrespect.
Bless them.
Bless them. What, just to explain to stupid people, I know what it is. What is glamping, please?
Well, I don't normally do camping, because last time I went camping was in the guides, and I ended up being the leader of the patrol. Do you know why?
Why?
Everyone else threw up and had to be taken out of the tent, so I was a leader of myself.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, no, that's true.
What, they all had to go home or something?
They got put in like an isolation tent. This is before the pandemic, maybe it's where it started.
Oh God, how awful.
This was in the 90s.
Yeah.
So I decided I would do it on the strict proviso that instead of having a bloody bedding roll,
yes,
I had a bed. And it was like a yurt.
I am going to state the obvious. Does that not negate? And negate means sort of imply a negativity to any stupid people out there.
I was going
to
say, I know what it means, Clinton, of course. But
well, I got halfway through doing the definition, I couldn't think what I bloody well meant. Does it not negate the whole camping experience?
Yes, a bit, but in a good way. So
well,
it's not like camping, it's like staying... Well, I've stayed in some really awful hotels. It's better than that, and the one you described earlier on as well,
oh,
of course.
Oh, my God, Jesus Christ, yeah, that was pretty awful. Yeah.
So that happened. It did get... There was a slightly damp, musty smell of the canvas, so I feel like I got that experience.
Right, okay.
But I just didn't sleep on the floor.
Can I just say to you this? You mentioned the guides, and yes, I was scout, and I have to say, I was never, like you, never given to the camping experience.
No.
But now, you know, when I smell that smell of sort of slightly damp tent,
yeah.
And we used to
farts.
Smoke... What?
Farts.
Farts, yes, thank you so much.
Nothing traps a fart like canvas, does it?
No. Yeah. Go on. It does stink. Well, that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah.
Sharing a tent with a load of sort of, 14, we're about 14 at the time.
Musty.
Musty. All very smoky. We used to smoke these dock leaf fags. There'd be the odd, and at different times, folks, different times, there'd be the odd men only or razzle knocking around.
Blimey.
And, yeah, blimey, horrible, really. And I was
just
gonna say,
though, between all of you, even worse.
Yes, absolutely bloody disgusting. There was yurt. There's a joke in there somewhere, I don't know what it is. But anyway.
It did bloody yurt.
I tell you, it did bloody yurt. I tell you that. It was a bit like this. You finished with that?
Oh,
thrilling for young men.
You dirty
sort of
beggars. I happen to know they don't do a badge for that, so that was all on your own steam.
No, they do not do a badge for that sort of thing. Anyway, listen, so, and funny you should say about the camping, I've got a friend who lives very near me, Stuart. I'm sorry, bloody name now. Anyway, Stuart! And he doesn't listen to this. He often says to me in summer, do I want to go out on my bike and go camping round here? Which I sort of do. And he doesn't mind sort of lying there at night looking up. And which I can see that, to be honest, in this world of consumerism, yes, it's quite nice to lie down, look at the stars. And he said to me, look, let's... And I've often been tempted to do it. And he said, look, why, we can take a few drinks out, take a few cans, lie down, look at the stars. And then I thought to myself, well, actually, I don't mind doing that, but I'm not that mad about Stuart. Perhaps I could do it on my own. And then I thought, actually, I'm not that mad about lying down at night. It's just the drinking. Then I thought, I'd have a drink in my back gown. Then I thought, do you know what? I'll just have a drink in front of the telly, because let's be fair, that's the bit I liked about the idea the most.
OK, well, very helpful, though, Stuart, is allowed you to draw your own conclusions about things.
Say that again.
Well, you know, it sounds like Stuart's just had a massive knockback from you, but actually what's happened is Stuart has enabled you to be able to decide what you do and don't want to do in your spare time.
Well, in many ways, Stuart has helped. The thing is, that's very charitable of you to say that about Stuart, but he's a bit of a pain in the arse.
Right.
And to be honest, lying around drinking a couple of cans of warm Ruddles County, staring up at Uranus, is certainly not something I want to do.
No.
So, that is what you've been doing this week. Can I just thank Linda for sending me this incredible story. Can we have the spooky music as we go into the spooky story to start this week's show? From the Daily Star.
I am terrified to leave the house in case I get abducted by my alien visitor stalkers. There's a lot in there, isn't there?
Yeah.
This is an exclusive, because no one else wanted to hear it, from Sasha Christie, 51. Sasha insists she has so many close encounters of the third kind with extraterrestrials that she now has one simple message for Earth's alien visitors. Please leave me alone. She first spotted what she believes to be a UFO after she saw what looked like one into the back garden. It looked like a strange acorn, she says.
In your ghost, stop my
panic. Oh, sorry, that was the wrong one. Hold on, just a second.
No.
Forget it, keep going, sorry. An alien in the back garden, what, with a strange acorn? I tell
and
you what.
Strange acorn.
Bit like Shirley, turn the music off a second. Bit like Shirley Bennett next door when I was doing my bumhole son in therapy. She saw a strange acorn in her back garden. Sorry, no, it says it's floating in the sky. Beg your pardon. Go on, keep going, sorry.
The mum of five has had 9 major sightings. I bet she has. Mum of five in her lifetime. Sasha, who lives in Liverpool, Merseyside, said, and I won't do the
accent. No, we're not going to do that.
Although I can do Liverpool.
Go on, give it a go.
It's very hard to explain my encounters, as it's hard for me to believe what I've seen.
All right, maybe not.
I spent my whole life trying to think of other scenarios of things that it could be, but the only conclusion is that it's other life forms and UFOs. So that's that sorted.
Yeah.
Looking at the sky, it scares me. Oh, she's one of them.
Yeah.
As I don't know what I'm going to see next, but I can't help but check the sky when I go out, as it's just a habit now. It's like I have to make sure nothing's going to fall on my head. She added, I'm not too sure where most UFOs frequent, but it does feel like they're always somewhere near me. I'd be a millionaire if I only knew why certain people see UFOs, but I think it's happened to me because I look in the sky a lot.
Can you just turn the music off one second? Can I just... Would you be a millionaire if you knew that? I don't quite understand. People often like, oh, I'd be a millionaire if I knew this. I mean, I can tell you, because I do know that, and I'm not a millionaire. And I want to say this now, Legend, I'm going to be making an announcement about aliens, about time travel.
All right.
In the next few weeks. I'm not quite ready to do it now, but I do know a couple of things about it. So, yeah, it's an interesting question. Why do some people, you know, see UFOs and some not?
Well, let's just remind ourselves, this is a woman who looked in the garden and saw an acorn and thought, oh, yeah, E.T.
Okay.
So that might explain why she's seen a lot of UFOs, because there's, like, leaves, there's trees.
Yeah,
looking in the sky,
yeah,
clouds,
that's right. Yeah.
Birds.
Yeah, there's some cat shit down there. That's obviously come from the planet Zark. Right, next, on a trip with... I don't know why I'm being so cynical about it. I fucking believe all
it's
this
It's rubbing
stuff.
Off, you're learning.
Yeah, it's rubbing off. Go on, carry on.
On a trip with her family to Wales in 1997, she was terrified after seeing a craft in the sky, and then a barefoot alien ran past her.
Okay, go
okay.
On.
Sasha, we mentioned, lives in Liverpool,
yeah,
Merseyside.
Why do they keep saying that? She lives in...
Does it make her more believable?
She said... No, go on, go on.
My son Louis and three of Steve's family members were on a short break to a small remote cottage. She said at one point Steve was pointing at these fluorescent lights in the sky. They seemed fluorescent lights in the sky.
God.
Lights, I mean.
Yeah.
They seemed to be getting bigger the closer they moved towards us, what, like a plane or something.
Yeah, well, don't be so cynical, Linda. Christ's sake, go on.
As the clouds were so low, the shadows and shape of a UFO made it look like a bright, rippling jellyfish in the sky. Everyone had come to look out at this point, and the kids were feeling a bit nervous, and the sheep in the field next to us had all eerily laid down.
Sorry, keep pressing the bloody wrong one. Carry on.
Lazy livestock, apparently an indicator of...
Well, it does mean something. Sometimes when the cows lie down, it means there's going to be rain.
All right.
Sheep lying down, aliens afoot. Go on.
I stood there for another minute or so.
Aliens barefoot, sorry. Carry on.
Of which more now. I stood there for another minute or so when I suddenly heard something running barefoot in the mud behind me. All of a sudden, it bumped into me as it ran past and my chest exploded. Well, that can't be right.
Say that again, what? Ran past and my chest... like John Hurt, a fucking alien?
You'd feel that, wouldn't you?
Bloody hell, yeah.
Before I even realised it was happening, I was running back to the house in a panic, in complete hysterical blindness. I couldn't see what was going on.
This is where it gets less fun, sort of Daily Star treatment, and more of a medical issue, a mental issue. Because let's have a look at that one. It says, Sasha's UFO sightings have left her shaken. She now suffers with post-traumatic stress disorder, sometimes worries when leaving her house.
Oh.
She adds, I used to feel safe before, but seeing the UFOs so close up has removed the bubble I used to live in. I feel like there's nothing in between the top of my head and space.
Oh.
Fucking hell.
Oh.
My head feels like I'm in space. Do you know what I mean?
I'm a bit bad now.
Yeah, I do. And this is, but keep it light, I was thinking. Now all this comes. She says, I think the anxiety stems from the holiday in Wales in 97. I know the fucking feeling of pissed down all week. I now hate February. It's a bad month for me. I try to stay... God, I feel a bit mean reading this.
Yeah.
I try to stay in as much as I can during that month because I suffer with severe anxiety.
But hang on a minute. The next line says she attends yearly UFO conventions.
Yeah, she attends yearly UFO conventions where people can share and talk about their experiences, which she claims has helped her to come to terms with the idea of extraterrestrial life forms. Now, it does sound... like she's got other issues, so I don't want to take the piss, but I wouldn't go to bloody conventions.
If it's a trigger.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I am a firm believer, but this has clearly upset her, so I'd love to hear your UFO stories, which leads me very nicely to this. Coming up is an interview with a fella who I always think does have nothing between his head and the stars. He's certainly out of his bubble. Fred Ferenczi. We did a gig last week in Aylesbury Ukraine.
Yeah.
And I've got to tell you, I wasn't going to mention this because I don't know whether it's a little bit top secret, but I went on stage and I didn't tell you about this, Linda. I was one of the last people on because I'm big news,
yeah,
right?
Top billing, almost.
Almost top billing after Hal Cruttendon.
Oh, yeah, I like him.
With his nonsense. No, he's brilliant. And Kiki D was on.
Oh, lovely.
Wonderful Kiki D. She did, what'd she do? Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
Of course.
Did she do Star, that's what they called you. And
where you are.
I was almost harmonising as it did. Anyway, I went on stage at the end and fucking Kiki D had left her mobile phone on the stage. And not only that, she had left the ringer on and had got off stage and was now trying to ring her phone to find where it bloody well was.
It's a good job she's not working with Elton anymore. He would have thrown that.
Well, exactly. I was there and I thought, because I was, you know, these things like a benefit gig, it's gone on and on and on. And I thought, is this a sign to get me off the bloody stage? This thing kept going off. I couldn't find it. It was in the corner of the stage. So you do a little line to the people who've got let the bloody phone go off. No, this thing keeps ringing. I have to say, Kiki D's ringtone is not. That would be terrible,
no,
wouldn't it?
She wouldn't do that.
She wouldn't do that. But it kept going off in a quite conventional.
Retro now, though, that one.
Yeah, I kept thinking, what the bloody hell's going on? So I finished early. I got off, and bloody Kiki D and her manager were there, and I caught the lift with them down to the to the dressing rooms downstairs. And it was a rather unfortunate moment, because I've been all right about it. I hadn't been too pissed off about it.
No.
It did spoil my contact with those people beyond the bobble up there.
Yeah, because they thought you were doing something else on the phone.
Exactly. So it was driving me slightly mad. And I finished quite early, because I thought it was them trying to pull me off, if you pardon the expression. Anyway, I'm ashamed to say, the manager said, oh, Kiki's really like that. She this was a terrible moment. You can see where this is going. She said, Elton gave her a ring, like, sort of many years ago, and she's always the whole time, oh, have I lost Elton's ring? You know, I've been wearing Elton's ring for so long. And I...
What?
I said...
No. No.
I expect Elton's ring has had a lot of use over the years. Which was met with a deafening silence in the lift. Don't cancel me, those people listening. It was just a joke. And if you've read Elton's book, you might imagine that...
By his own admission.
By his own admission. And so I just want to apologise to Kiki, to Elton, and also, well... She apologised to me for letting the phone go off. But it was a terrible moment, and I don't know whether I want to run into Kiki and her manager again. Anyway, this is a short interview with Fred Ferenczi, who's a great comic, who was there that very night. Well, I'm at the Star Studied. Benefits for Ukraine at the Waterside Theatre in Aylesbury, and I have with me a very, very distinguished comedian. I've worked with him a lot before. He's the wonderful Fred Ferenczi. Fred, how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Bearing up.
Bearing up.
Yeah, it's been, you know,
keep different. It light. And Fred, I understand you are a believer in the supernatural at last, someone who actually believes in it rather than wants to take the piss out of me.
Bit of a cynic, really.
A cynic?
Originally.
Until what? Until the story you're about to tell me?
Well, my own house, which I share with Bob.
Is haunted?
My best friend.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Linda, could you please put on the spooky music as Fred regales us with this terrifying tale? Shoot.
Yes, well, late one night, I thought I saw a man in my bedroom. I thought it was Bob, but it wasn't.
Who is Bob?
Bob's my best friend.
You live with Bob?
Yes.
In a homosexual relationship?
No.
He just shares the house?
Yes.
Not even a little bit of touching?
Well, just a bit.
Would it?
Only on bath night.
Right, so you share a place with Bob, and on bath nights,
yeah,
it's
bath nights.
A little bit of a tickle?
A little bit of a tickle.
Okay,
a
we're digressing. Can you get to the fucking ghost bit?
And, television's gone funny. We had to take it back, and apparently radio rentals doesn't exist anymore, but, and the radio's gone funny.
Really?
Yeah, and our friend thinks that the previous owner's still there.
I think, like the rest of the listeners, this all sounds a little bit doubtful at the moment. Could you embellish it with slightly more detail, please?
Yes, well, apparently he was very strict Roman Catholic, and he died.
A man who was a strict Roman Catholic died? How did you find this out?
Well, we knew it when we bought the house.
Go on. Yeah.
And he's buried in the cemetery.
Go on.
And, he loved the house. And he doesn't like us living there. I think he's homophobic.
Yeah.
Not that we're, me and Bob are, you know, there's nothing like that going on.
Right, okay. And so this Catholic man doesn't approve of two men living together?
A Buddhist iconography.
Oh, okay. Hanging
pictures, up. Pictures.
Right. Oh, that's Buddha. I thought it was you on holiday.
Statues. No.
Oh,
no, that's
since it was you by the pool in your trunk.
That's the problem.
Turns out
since
it was
accident,
Buddha.
Yeah. And, right. You know, I haven't been able to exercise.
I know you've not been able to exercise the ghost or yourself by the looks of things, Fred.
Well no, but so we did get an exorcist in, a Baptist. Mm. And he said, get rid of the get rid of the homosexual. No, the
homosexual iconography. Homosexual iconography is that?
Erotic iconography, and yeah. Said to get rid of that.
Judy Garland pictures up or something. Buddha and Judy Garland.
Buddha and the Judy Garland. Yes. Yeah. We're into that.
You got rid of them.
We got rid of them, and the ghost's gone.
Well, thank you, Fred.
That's
right.
Scary, wasn't it?
Yeah. What should we say? 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
Could do better.
Could do better.
Fred Ferenzi, there, everybody. Thank you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Fred Ferenzi there. He was on just before me, and I was in the wings thinking, bloody hell, he's good. Anyway, let's go to the phones.
One new message.
Oh, Clinton, hi. Good morning, sausage.
Hi again, Clinton. You didn't get back to me last time. I tried calling. I'm trying to get hold of Ruth Abbott. I'm really keen on helping her out with that ghost in the family.
Good morning. I've been told this is the telephone number to ring if anybody spots any goats knocking about. Well, not being funny, but I've just been walking down Pall Mall and one's trotted past me. It's currently sat outside Black Horse Pub in Chorley.
Brian here, and I tell you something, mate. I went over to someone the other day and I said to him, hello there, do you know, my name's Brian, but I'm a ghost. And he said then, wait, no, you're not Brian, you've just come out of the asylum.
Anyway, let's get to this. What a story. Pet psychic. Rick, can we have the spooky music?
Hang on,
this is absolutely true, this one.
Let's have a look.
Pet psychic reveals 5 steps to talking to your dog. This morning's resident pet psychic, Beth Lee Crowther, 52, from Worcestershire, shares her simple steps on how you can learn to talk to animals at home so you'll always know what your dog is thinking, or cat. This woman was on this morning, and we got a mention. Did you know that? We got a mention from Vernon Kay.
No.
And he even mentioned me.
He didn't mention me.
Linda, I'm sorry to... I don't know whether it's your name on the front of this. Don't build your bloody part up!
Any word. Hair. You're almost like hair.
If Clinton Baptiste did was a pet sidekick, then you got that's what it would be like. That was brilliant, though, very bad, wasn't it?
Well, it's just when you say we, I thought you meant me. I didn't realise it was back to you again.
I meant me and the people who produced the show, not you. Anyway, the thing is, they did... This is what she says to the Daily Mirror, right? The dogs tell me... Can you put the music on again?
Yes.
They tell me their likes and dislikes, what food they wanted, and if they required anything like a trip to the vet. No, I do believe this. No, I do. I used to think everyone experienced it. Then when I got older, I realised that other people don't understand animals in the same way. Presumably only Johnny Morris and Dr. Doolittle. Beth recalled her first trip to a pet shop when she went to buy a rabbit. You've got one of those, haven't you, Linda?
I've got a couple.
Yeah, she said, I can see a tiny Dutch black and white rabbit. You've got the Dutch version, I mean, the Dutch model.
It's made in Taiwan, actually.
It's black and white, though, I think.
What do you know?
I've seen it. Anyway, sorry, I could hear him. This is what she says. She says, I could hear the rabbit saying, take me home. What, in Dutch? Take me home. Take me home. Her family and friends weren't surprised when she became a professional animal communicator. That does exist. 20 years ago, a professional animal communicator. And she says, look, if a professional unicorn healer exists, a professional animal communicator does. She says her partner, Nigel, is incredibly proud when he's not rolling his eyes, sitting in the garage, smoking. Beth has devised her own method called psychic animal communication technique. I don't know why I'm taking the piss out of this, because I believe all this stuff. Anyway, listen. Go on, then. So can you read out? This is how you communicate with your animals.
Yeah, right, if you've got a dog in front of you now, try this. Yeah. Step one, calm your mind.
Calm your mind.
Start with calming your mind with meditation. Take a deep breath. In through your nose.
Yeah, not that nice with your cats, my love.
Maybe. They're very clean. Hold it for a slow count of seven and then breathe out through your mouth. Do this three times. Step two, you'll like this one. Tap your third eye.
I was doing that just before you arrived here in the studio.
With your eyes open, take your middle finger and place it on your intuitive third eye.
Hold on, I'm just doing...
It's the one in the centre of your forehead.
Just a second, I'm just doing that now. Oh, forehead. Yeah, sorry. Go on.
Now tap this point with your fingertip gently seven times.
Just a second.
Raise your eyes upwards, slowly close them, and imagine yourself in a familiar place that you love, such as the beach, in a field by a river.
In your case, Linda, the boozer on the fruity. Go on, step three.
Focus on your pet. Think of the animal you want to communicate with. If the animal is with you, or you have a photograph or description, or you just know what they look like, open your eyes and think of them for a few moments. Within your mind, say their name three times and ask them to join you.
Miracle. 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 A problem with cats, you speak to a cat, ask a cat, whether you've tapped your third eye seven times or not, you ask a cat to join and they tend to fuck off, won't they, cats?
They're busy.
They're not interested, cats. You want me to do what? Bloody hell, dog? Oh, a dog will join you, not a cat. Fuck off. That was a cat speaking.
You have been communicating with my cat.
I have, yeah. Look, the cat will do this. which is cat for... Go on, do it to someone else. Speak to the bloody goldfish.
Yeah.
Step four.
Ask them questions. Formulate the questions you want to ask, such as, how are you feeling?
Never mind that. Give me my food.
Here we go. The answers may sound like your own voice in your mind. All right, so you're thinking it'll be yourself. Or it may be a vision or thought. You may sense an emotion, a strong gut feeling, or even catch the scent of an aroma.
With your cat, Betty, yes, probably.
She's not been well.
Right.
Allow all the thoughts to flow between you and do not try to force anything.
All right. Now, this is... Yeah, now, can I just say this? Step five is perform gratitude.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end, before you open your eyes, it says it, mentally thank the animal. Thank you. You may see them leaving your familiar place in your mind's eye. Or if the animal is present in the same physical space, you may feel their energy subtly pulling away from you, like all cats. They're normally pulling away from you. That's when you see your cat's third eye, yours particularly. Our
animals have so much to share with... Now, this is true, right? Our animals have so much to share with us about their lives, our own lives, and the meaning of life is pushing it a little bit. They can.
Let's just remind ourselves that the meaning of life for a dog is another dog's a-hole.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? Why would I take, you know, lifestyle advice from a dog that likes sniffing another dog's bum?
The life advice would be, sniff this.
Yeah, sliding down, embarrassing you on a picnic, getting, itching its arse. I'm not taking lifestyle advice from someone like that.
I used to have a landlady who had a dog that would do that. The dog used to ignore me. It was more like a cat than my cat.
Oh, God.
But it would come in specifically to use my rug to rub its arse along.
Bloody hell.
And I could not ignore the fact that that rug was getting more than enough use. So one day I put the rug in the washing machine. It was just a cheapo one, like an IKEA one, one of them rag rugs.
I know, I've got a vision of your rug now, Linda, which I can't get out of my mind.
The landlady told me off because the rug didn't lie flat afterwards, and I was thinking, yeah, because it's not got all that stuff weighing it down, and it wasn't stripy, it turns out.
Lovely story. If you're having your lunch, maybe fast forward this bit and come back to it later. I had a terrible time. I was doing a gig the other day, and quite often I do pick up on animals, you know, the spirit of animals that are passing them. There's a woman in the front row. I can see your short-edged schnauzer, my love. Shut your legs. But that's just pathetic, isn't it? But what you will find very often, it is a fact that sometimes you will marry a life partner who is your animal, your pet from youth, reincarnated. Absolutely true. You are drawn together. Yeah, I mean, with your paw, did you ever come into the sitting room at night and catch him licking his own balls with his leg up?
Funnily enough, yeah.
That's probably...
If you'd been able to do that, we'd still be together.
I know, if it hadn't been someone else doing it, then maybe you would have been together.
Too soon, but you're right.
Sorry, that's Paul's balls. Anyway, I firmly believe that all humans were born with psychic abilities and you just need to know how to use them, she says. And that is true.
Right.
Yes, that's what you're doing here, Linda. That's what we're doing on this fucking podcast.
Well, all right, okay, yeah.
Jesus Christ. So please give us a ring on
01892711.
198.
I've lost track of my ones then. Sorry about that, everyone.
Okay.
I'll do it again.
Linda's asked to do a very simple thing.
02711.
And I've now spoken over that. You'll have to do it again. 01892711198. Please try and raise the game with the phone calls because they're bloody awful, most of them. Or send a spooky story to clinton@clintonbaptiste.com. No more stories about going in the toilet, thank you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's our big star interview with the one and only, I mentioned him before, Mr. Hal Cruttendon.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am honoured to be here backstage with the wonderful Hal Cruttendon, who is going to tell... Now, he tells me he does have a very spooky story.
I do.
We've got the echo, that's just backstage here. But it's not his, is that right, Hal?
No, I don't really have any brilliant ghost stories myself.
Right.
Because I tend to avoid any situations where I might, run into a ghost. I'm so neurotic. I don't like... If I feel at all... I was a little kid that used to...
Yeah, you're a shitter, is what you're saying. You're a shitter.
I'm far too scared to investigate a scary house or a,
It's not for everyone. It's not for everyone. It is for the likes of me. That banging door was not a ghost. It was a man just going past. Right, so you like to stay away. I'm sort of... Look, of an evening, I've taken to watching TikTok and my algorithm is all ghosts and bloody... UFOs and aliens. And even me, a hardened professional, does shit myself occasionally at some of this stuff. Hal, it's not your story. Tell me whose story it is.
It is a comic called Steve Gribbin, who is a very, very good comic, a musical comic. And he told me this story that scared me so much. He told me just over 20 years ago, I think it was. Yeah.
Okay.
23 years ago, 24 years ago.
Linda, put on the spooky music. Hal's about to start.
Right. So... the story is told to me by Steve. We're coming back from a gig. It's late at night. It's very dark. And he was telling me about a gig he did in... I think it was somewhere in Wales. And there was a group of them were doing it. And it was... I think it was in the 80s. And they were staying at a friend's house. He had a rich friend whose parents had a house in Wales. And they were doing this gig. And they were all going to stay in this house in Wales. And It's not a long story, this, but he's... They all have a late night, they get very drunk, they go to bed. And Steve suddenly wakes up in the middle of the night. He's actually in a room with someone else. There's actually another guy sleeping on this other bed who didn't wake up. Steve wakes up and there is a woman bending over him saying, "Will you check the baby?" And he goes, and then disappears. And he's like, "Oh,
oh my God!"
And he's so frightened. He goes, "She just disappeared." He just says this figure. He said he wasn't asleep. He was completely awake. He went downstairs and sat in the kitchen for the rest of the night. This happened at about 3 a.m. For the rest of the night, and just sits there with all the lights on, drinking coffee, terrified. In the morning, they all come downstairs and everybody's having breakfast. And he says to the guy whose parents own this place, go, "The scariest thing happened to me in the night." This woman holding a bundle said to him, and she was in old clothes, she was very dressed, you know, sort of, is bending over him saying, "Will you check the baby?" And the guy whose parents own the house, the guy said, and I know this was true because Steve would not, he's not somebody that lies, he said, "Oh my God, a baby died in that room."
Oh, crikey.
And it was not mentioned to him, and they knew about it. It was obviously something that happened many years ago.
Just to be certain, it was many years ago. Steve wasn't being blamed for killing the baby.
No, he wasn't being blamed for killing the baby, and it was like an old story, but they knew about it. So this guy knew in the house. Now, I dropped Steve at his house, drove back. I think I lived by myself then. It was actually probably about 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I went back to my little flat just so frightened.
Yeah.
I remember lying in the room going, that is the image of it. And I hope it's ruined everybody's life here, who's listening to this. And they go, think about being alone in a room and waking up with a woman holding a baby going, "Will you check the baby?"
Do you know what? Can I just say how at last someone with a proper spooky story, because my skin actually started to go a bit prickly then.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think you'll agree, at last someone who's not doing a story about someone having a ghost shit or whatever it is I normally get, a proper scary story. Hal Cruttendon is going on stage shortly, he's headlining.
After me,
don't matter, none taken. And so listen, Hal, thank you very much. What can you, do you want to tell the fans anything at home?
What about?
Are you promoting anything or?
Usually I'm funnier than telling this ghost story, and as a stand-up I'm doing Edinburgh and then going on tour throughout the country from September onwards.
Well, so am I, so we won't dwell on that. Come and see me. All right, Hal Cruttendon, what a fantastic bloke. A spooky story, I think you'll agree. Just time for your paranormal headlines. Take a Break's Fate and Fortune magazine have a feature on witches' potions and tell us that two bottles have been recently unearthed containing a witch's 200-year-old piss. Which reminds me, I must get some more Budweiser in. Chat, it's Fate's aura expert, Kate O'Mahon, picks up on a woman's colour aura to advise her on her career. The woman in question is apparently glowing a bright tangerine orange. So I'd recommend a career in the perfume department at Debenhams. They're all that fucking colour there, aren't they?
You're welcome, love.
Meanwhile, Haunted magazine are reporting on a ghost at the Playboy Mansion now that Hugh Hefner's dead. The bunnies often reported seeing stiffs around the mansion, things rising in the night, etc. Make up your own puns. Blimey, Hugh and all them women. When he died, it took them 3 attempts to force the coffin lid on properly. And those are your sexist paranormal headlines for when you get up tomorrow. Don't cancel me. Well, we've come to the end of another thrilling episode. Linda, my darling, did you enjoy that?
There were moments where I was smiling, yes.
Yes, and I want to apologise for suggesting that you're not very much part of this. It is my name above the title.
Yeah, but Vernon don't care and that's fine.
Vern, wasn't that lovely? Vernon Kay. Love to get a mention on any other shows. Any other big celebrities out there, please mention us. All right, what are you going to be doing now, Linda?
I've got a very exciting project at home I've got to rush off for, but I know you're not very interested in cats.
That is correct, so we'll see you next time. Goodbye, Linda. Bye-bye, all. Fading Neil. Try to be a bit more enthusiastic, love.
I've been watching you sitting on the toilet.
when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, right. Clinton Baptiste here, offering you the chance to enjoy my Patreon podcast for free for 7 days. So many people have been joining me over there. It's a shame that you're not. We've got videos, cartoons, we've got all sorts of stuff, all the old back catalogue, and a chance for exclusive dibs on tickets before anyone else. Please come to patreon.com/Clinton Baptiste. All right, spirit fading now. See you there. Fading now.